There is one last chance to double your impact when you donate during this May fundraiser. It's Match Monday, and the Investors Challenge Fund is matching donations, today only, up to $25,000. We need to put every dollar of these funds to use for our newsroom in the months ahead so we can keep you and people across the country informed. Give right now and generously at marketplace.org/donate.
My name is Lee Hawkins. I've been a journalist for over 25 years. On my new podcast, What Happened in Alabama, I get answers to some of the hardest questions about how things came to be for many Black Americans and the truth that must come before any reconciliation can happen. I investigate my family history, my upbringing in Minnesota, and my father's painful nightmares about growing up in Alabama. What Happened in Alabama is a new series confronting the cycles of trauma for myself, my family, and for many Black Americans. Listen now.
That deflating balloon sound you may have heard was the stock of the electric car company Tesla yesterday. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Tesla stock closed down 12% yesterday after profits for the last quarter and production guidance for the coming quarters was less than dazzling. Plus, CEO Elon Musk suggested Chinese electric car companies are going to eat everyone's lunch if the U.S. industry does not get federal protection. Marketplace's Nova Safo has more.
Tesla had a rough 2023, missing its sales targets despite discounting, which also lowered its profit margins. But there were two remarks from Elon Musk during an analyst call on Wednesday that got the most attention. The first was a prepared remark.
Tesla is currently between two major growth waves.
Okay, so when's the next one? Musk couldn't say. It depended on when the company could produce a planned, cheaper electric vehicle. Maybe sometime late next year, he said. The second comment, off the cuff, came in response to a question about competition from Chinese automakers, particularly China's biggest EV maker, BYD, which has its sights set on the North American market.
The Chinese car companies are the most competitive car companies in the world. Frankly, I think if there are not trade barriers established, they will pretty much demolish most other car companies in the world.
Wall Street was unimpressed, apparently confirming existing worries among some, at least, that Tesla may be starting to look less like a tech company and more like a typical automaker with cyclical ups and downs. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
Tesla shares, again down 12% on Thursday, are up not quite 1% at the moment. If inflation is on the wane, central bank policymakers can lower interest rates. The measure of inflation Federal Reserve folk like to watch is called personal consumption expenditures, especially the bit where food and energy prices are ignored. Well, there's news this morning. This core PCE, if you want to sound in the know, was tame for December. Christopher Lowe is chief economist at FHN Financial.
Lots of good news here. The inflation rise, whether you include food and energy or not, was 0.2% in December. Over the course of 2023, inflation was 2.6%, which is pretty good.
All right. So we have the guardians of interest rates meeting next week on these matters. Does this lead them toward a cut in interest rates, or does it persuade them to sit tight?
Lead them toward, I think, is exactly the right way to put it. They're not ready to cut rates yet, and they're probably not ready to cut rates soon. But eventually they will cut because inflation is low. If you look at the quarterly numbers, in the third and fourth quarters of last year, inflation was 2%. That's the Fed's target.
Economist Chris Lowe. There is one last chance to double your impact when you donate during this May fundraiser. It's Match Monday, and the Investors Challenge Fund is matching donations, today only, up to $25,000. We need to put every dollar of these funds to use for our newsroom in the months ahead so we can keep you and people across the country informed. Give right now and generously at marketplace.org/donate.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know.
Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
Markets, the S&P coming off an all-time high yesterday is down 0.1% this morning. The Dow is up 25 points, less than 0.2%. The NASDAQ is down 0.3%. Now to Mirror World, where up is down when it comes to inflation. Talking about Japan, where prices barely budged coming out of pandemic and interest rates didn't just stay low, they're negative. You actually pay banks to hold your money. Mireya Solis is the director of the Center for East Asia Policy Studies at Brookings. She spoke to my colleague, Sabri Benashour.
You know, for as much as we have been traumatized by inflation here in the U.S., it's kind of barely a blip in Japan. What about Japan's economy is different?
Japan has experienced in the past few years long spell of deflation. So, you know, deflation in Japan today is a little bit over 2%. It doesn't feel very high given what we're going through here in the United States. But for Japan, this is actually a very big change. And people are feeling it in their wallets and they're not happy about it.
So normally when an economy has inflation that is higher than it would like, it would raise interest rates. But Japan, it has negative interest rates. Why is that? And do you see that changing anytime soon?
For a very long time, the government has been trying to stimulate the economy. And it hit a point where you had zero interest rates and you were not achieving the stimulus that was desired. And that's when they went creative and they started applying negative interest rates. I think the reading from the Bank of Japan is that at least till this point, what Japan has experienced is not the right kind of inflation. It has not been fueled by positive change in the economy. And the argument that we hear from the governor of the Bank of Japan is that they want to wait until they see a positive cycle where inflation is driven by increase in wages. Just a couple of days ago, Mr. Ueda, the governor of the Bank of Japan, began to hint that he's finally seeing these conditions align. I think we're beginning to see the beginning of change, but they're proceeding very cautiously.
Despite this controversy, there does appear to be some amount of optimism around Japan's economy. The Nikkei hit 34-year highs recently. Where do you see Japan's economy headed?
You know, it's very interesting when you think about the Nikkei stock index finally reaching levels that we had not seen in the last 30 years. Part of it has to do with the fact that Japan is pursuing some corporate governance reforms and that encourages investors. Japanese companies in some areas are extremely competitive. The problem with Japan is that it has what we refer to as a dual economy. So you have these areas of strength, but you also have a lot of sectors where productivity is low. I think guarded optimism is a good way to think about where Japan is today.
Mireya Solis is the director of the Center for East Asia Policy Studies at the Brookings Institution. She's also the author of Japan's Quiet Leadership, Reshaping the Indo-Pacific. Dr. Solis, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
And no, we are not all still in our childhood bedrooms scrolling and swiping all day. New numbers from Pew Research find young adults 25 to 34 are more likely to have full-time jobs now than 20 years ago. And back in 1993 was a famous boom year for the economy. The jump is among women mainly. I'm David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.